Hey guys, we have a really cool crowdfunding campaign launching March 14th. We want to create more shows, bring on different writers, and we want you involved in the process. Go to monkeysfightingrobots.com on March 14th for more details. And now, here's the show.
Welcome to the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast with Matthew Sardo.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
Holy sh! They're actually monkeys fighting robots!
You can follow us on Twitter at monkeys_robots and on Instagram at monkeys fighting robots. Make sure to download and review our podcast from iTunes and Stitcher. And now, here's your host, Matt.
Welcome to the 114th episode of Monkeys Fighting Robots. Today's episode is going to be bananas because there's monkeys fighting giant lizards. EJ and I are talking about Kong Skull Island. I'm your host, Matthew Sardo. I'm also the co-founder of monkeysfightingrobots.com. Joining me in the banter is my co-host, movie critic EJ Marino.
I'm trying to find like a Gwen Stefani, this shit is going to be bananas pun in here, but I really don't want to use it. So I just had to let you know the joke was there. I was feeling it. I'm singing it in my head like I see you just bouncing to it.
As soon as you said it, it's like there in my head.
So I was like, let's just jump into Kong so I stop thinking about the damn banana song.
Because as I was reading our script for the opening, I was like, Monkeys Fighting Robots, this is one half of our name is King Kong. I mean, that's where the origin kind of come from, is like my love of Godzilla in monsters and monkeys fighting robots. Like, this is at its essence of like our name.
Oh, absolutely. I think Kong is definitely like the inspiration for giant apes all over the world. So he definitely plays into a big part of Monkeys Fighting Robots.
An uncharted island.
Let me list all the ways you're gonna die. Rain, heat, disease-carrying flies, and we haven't started on the things that want to eat you alive.
We'll double that.
Plus a bonus if we make it back.
If?
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refuses to shine.
Is that a monkey?
On the island.
We don't belong here.
But the devils live below us. I call them skull crawlers.
Why?
Because it sounds neat.
Okay.
Look, I just made that name up. I'm trying to scare you.
I'm fine calling them that. Are you cool with it?
Yeah, that seems like a good
idea. I like the name.
Run!
Hello again. I am M11. The robot half of Monkeys Fighting Robots. Today's episode contains spoilers for Kong, Skull Island. If you have not seen the film yet, you should turn back now. You have been warned.
Kong Skull Island comes out this week. We saw it on a nice Monday evening. I was going to be on TV the next day, so I didn't eat anything before I saw it, because I had to look skinny for my TV appearance on the CW44. So if you're in Tampa, TM Powell, our friend, I'm going to be on his show with his co-host Veronica from WQYK.
I believe those are the letters that are strung together for that.
So listen to Veronica. I found out that Veronica, she has a deal with one of her sponsors, and she gets a brand new fully loaded Mustang every 5,000 miles.
Oh, that is a nice perk of a job. It's like, do you want this like sum of money? She's like, no, just give me a car every little bit.
Every 5,000 miles, she gets a brand new, just fully loaded giant engine Mustang, and that is, and I'm not going to give the sponsor's name any cred because they have to give me a Mustang to get that shit on Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast.
Oh, such a smart businessman, Matt. Such a smart businessman.
Oh, but it's kind of Kong Skull Island. Really quickly, in the trailers, I was really worried about the CGI and what it looked like and the colors and everything. Because right next to it, I always had the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer sitting there. But as amazing as Kong Skull Island looked, now I'm more pumped about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool world we're living in where we don't have to shadow CGI people in just darkness anymore. Now we're actually giving bright lights and bright colors in a fully like computer animated world, and I love it. And I think Kong's a great example, but I will say, as much as I want to be hesitant, Guardians does look fucking beautiful, man. So gorgeous.
Oh, man, that 8K camera, I just, you know, if they want to sponsor us and we can, you know, have 8K podcast videos, we would look really ugly.
Ooh, my skin does not need 8K.
Can we soften this up? Can we go to...
Just put some Vaseline over that, please. Give me old Betty Davis feeling there.
The other thing I did this weekend was I saw the 1976 King Kong film, and then I saw the 2005 Peter Jackson, yep, King Kong film. And those are depressing films. Very depressing films.
Absolutely. Even if you go back to the original Kong in, I think, 33, 32, or maybe 4, it's so sad. This is definitely a more morose franchise. And I really think Kong Skull Island is the first one to be really fun. This, I will say, this new Kong film changed up so many of the conventions we know from Kong movies. And it's just like, no damsel in distress. It's not as sad. I was like, okay, cool. This is at least a different pace for these movies.
This is the battle that we always have, the conversation of reinventing a superhero film and, you know, what Zack Snyder is doing. And then my thing with, you know, does this superhero not resemble the superhero when you change it that drastically? And with Kong Skull Island, they changed elements around King Kong. But King Kong at his heart was still the same good guy. Like, King Kong always gets fucked over in the other movies.
Yeah, and actually, I think if anything, this made Kong look way... They gave Kong a life in this... They give him a personality. They really backed up Kong a lot more. I don't love the movie around him. It's really... I do like the more serious side to these things. I'm not saying I need it to be as depressing as the older Kong films, but I do like some of the things they attempted here. But no, for Kong, I think this is my favorite version of Kong I've ever seen, because you get to really see who he is, from the fighter to the protector to the actual, like, pretty chill kind of ape.
He goes to a sushi diner.
The best scene of that entire film for me. I think if you notice, that was the only time I laughed out loud, because it was so beautifully organic.
Is you're more of an indie filmmaker kind of person? You are an indie filmmaker person, not a kind of person. That's what you like. You like the where they change things up and they challenge the norms and they break the norms. For me, I'm the 6-year-old kid that would watch monster movies on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and watch the old hokey Godzilla and watch the King Kong movies, and I probably watched King Kong Lives as well, which is just, don't ever talk about that again. That's even worse than Batman for sure. So in my heart, Godzilla had that personality, and there was a hokiness to it. And I know that things are a little bit more serious, a little bit more realistic now, but again, it's still giant monsters and giant lizards, giant apes, and then, you know, you bring in Pacific Rim, giant robots. How serious should it get? With Kong Skull Island, there was enough of the balance of like organic versus inorganic in the film for me to be like, okay, I'm rooting for Kong. I was always rooting for Kong. I walked in the building rooting for Kong, like before it even started. So I mean, like, it is, I just wanted to see a giant ape kick some ass, and I got that like right away.
No, I definitely understand that, like, childlike wonderment of these films, and you just want to, like, sit back and watch all the craziness. I think that's the only thing, like, film school ruined for me, is, like, I've lost that as a film viewer. I'm always just kind of, like, pretentious looking for something, like you said, more indie, a little bit more stripped back, especially if it can slip into the Hollywood system. And that's what I thought the 2014 Godzilla film did, was kind of take an indie film and slip it into the bigger Hollywood world, where this was the more Hollywood style. Like I said, I really enjoy the cartoony aspects of Kong, how he is a naturally like comedic character. Like we talked about that little squid scene. It's funny, and there's things that I like, and it just really goes down to a lot of forced humor in these movies that really take me out. It's my problem with the Marvel movies. It's my problem with most of these like slapstick comedies coming out like yearly. It's just some things I'm like, it doesn't need to be here, and you're just there to do the mandatory chuckle every 15 minutes.
And that's where I have to disagree with you on that just a little bit, because you had mentioned like this movie tried to be Apocalypse Now, and it ended up being Stripes.
Yeah, as soon as I saw it, I was like, damn, that is exactly how I have to sum that up.
But one, Stripes is an amazing movie.
Oh, I think Stripes is awesome. Like, I'm not taking it away from Stripes, but it's a tone issue. If it was either going to be that or that, I would have liked it, but it didn't give me fully either one. And that's my major problem, is that just like, it didn't fully do one thing before moving on to the next. So I never felt fulfilled with the movie around the Kong, like the Kong character.
And with me, when I watched it, I was like, okay, you have the military guys going to the left, and those are the guys who want to kill Kong. And then you have Brie Larson and Tom Hiddleston, and Tom Hiddleston's hair go to the right, and they met the natives, and they got the more organic visit of Kong Skull Island. And, you know, they met the characters and had a relationship with Kong Skull Island and realized that Kong was the hero and in the story. And so I was fine with the anti-war message, you know, that was going on. And like it, whether it was just in your face open, I like that two trails, and then they come together, and then, you know, there's the turnaround. Is it the best script ever? No. Is the movie have flaws in it? Yes, it's kind of hokey. TM brought it up, or Veronica brought it up, I can't remember. The Asian girl, her pants are white through the whole entire adventure. She doesn't get dirty at all.
Well, those are tiny continuity issues that, as a filmmaker, those slip through the cracks. I don't mind that, but there's just a fundamental issue, and you kind of dug yourself deeper from how I feel, is everything you mentioned, where it's that inorganic versus the organic, military versus the more heart. I just saw that last year with Arrival, and it was a far more intellectually challenging piece. I'm not saying Kong Skull Island needed to be this thought-provoking think piece, but to see that handled in a better way, and then to see it here in that more less, I want to say less heartfelt way, I couldn't get behind it, because I'm like, I see what you're doing, I like this. If we would have fully went into that, it would have been different. But no, then you have crazy Samuel Jackson doing every Samuel Jackson line he has in the book, and then you have John C. Reilly, as funny as his character was, he was pure comedic value. So there's just things that I'm like, damn it, if we would have just focused a little bit better, I would have loved it. That's what upsets me.
Right, no, and I get that. I understand that. But comparing, I don't even think I have the brain comprehension to compare Arrival and Kong Skull Island. Because like, my brain goes in two different directions on those films. Because one, I want to see Kong beat the shit out of lizards. Now, Arrival... okay, that's a heady piece, and there's stuff going on, and there's aliens, but there really isn't a lot of aliens, but the story makes up for it, and it's, like we said, that movie could be set in any genre and would still be a good film. They decided to use science fiction to make, you know, to put the world in, but that script that they have and the way it's written, they could have, you know, she could have been in a hospital and had, you know, some sort of trauma and still kind of work through whatever that problem was.
And I think the same could be said about the Kong character. He could be placed into any genre of film. He could be a more horror-based character. He can be this more action-based character like he was, Or he can kind of do that Ang Lee Hulk route where we get moody Kong on Skull Island just having to be by himself and having to figure out what it's like that his parents are dead now. I think there's so many things that this character could have done, and the route that they went, I just couldn't fully fall in love with. I don't take away from how fun it was.
It was a monster movie. It's supposed to smash shit.
And like, this was trust me.
This is the Hulk movie that I want.
Yeah, well, that end battle scene is awesome. I just felt like I didn't care about it as it led up to it. There's things that, because that's one of the plot points, is Kong's, you know, really young in this. His parents were killed by these skull crawlers. So I'm like, oh, shit, that's awesome. Like, I think that would have been a great story. So it's, they gave me things in this that they didn't fully deliver on, where at least the Godzilla film, they just didn't give me enough Godzilla for me to be like, oh shit, we just saw this backstory where Godzilla came. And there's just things that I hate to compare these two, but they're from the same studio. They're in the same now MonsterVerse. So it's easy to kind of compare them. So it's just hard that I think that's what pisses me off more, is I wanted to like this more. I am excited for this universe. So I don't love the film. I don't hate it. I'm just like, it's just not for me.
I don't understand what you want from a monster movie. Because you love Godzilla, and Godzilla had a shitty human plot and then no Godzilla in it. Like, it had some Godzilla in it. For me, it didn't have enough. This Kong had, you know, a shitty human story, according to you. And it's not the best, because believe me, Samuel Jackson, I feel like, phones it in, or he didn't have a script to work with. Tom Hiddleston's really stiff. I understood Brie Larson's character, but I don't understand why. You know, she's not there. She's not needed. You know,
not at all.
But they just needed. It's like I told you. It's a very the monster movie is our giant monster movie is a very formulaic, where you need a good monster, you need a bad monster because they need to fight each other. You know, you need a girl. You need some sort of girl in it. And then, you know, some sort of heroic guy, and then an evil guy, and then a slimy guy. Like, those are all like the tropes of, like, all since I watched them all, that's all the things that have kind of gone through. And I wanted to talk about John C. Reilly, because I know you didn't like him in the film.
I don't hate him in the film. I just felt like his character took away from the movie I was really enjoying. It's every time I saw John C. Reilly, I was like, well, damn, you're funny. I'm not taking away from what you bring as a person. I think he's hilarious. There were some scenes that I was like, oh, damn, that was pretty funny. There was moments where I'm like, oh, shit, it's so funny. I really do think Godzilla and King Kong, the Skull Island, they're almost the same film. Kong just got more screen time, and I think that's what's going to be the difference changer, is that 15 minutes more of screen time really is going to make people, oh, this movie's so great. And I'm like, they're the same thing. You just got more of the monster. I just like the way they built up Godzilla in that other film. It's just like, ooh, it's what they did, the Jaws method, where we saw the tail, we saw this, ooh, then we cut away, we get to see him, we build him, and then we got to see a pretty cool battle scene where Kong Skull Island, it's like 45 minutes, and I didn't care. I think that's what it is. I don't care enough, where I do feel like I could have cared about Kong. And like I said, it more angers me. It's like, there's a better movie in here. And like I said, the John C. Reilly or the Samuel Jackson, they just weren't the movie that I was hoping for.
And going back to John C. Reilly, because that was my point, this movie is really violent and people die in it. Like, they skirt the PG-13 line. It's pretty close to R-rated with the amount of death in there. If they had more, because I know what they did and where they had, like, if they had a little bit of blood here and a little bit of blood there, it would have been R-rated, but there is a lot of people that die, and they get, you know, eaten several different ways, sliced up. But John C. Reilly's character is the only character I would have been upset if he died.
And see, you know what's funny? I would have agreed with you, but I really think I wanted a self-sacrifice from him at the end. That's what I thought his character was building up for, is like, you know what? I've been on this island. I can't leave this. Like, kind of going down with the ship mentality is like, I've been here. I'm going to sit here and die trying to help Kong. I really thought that would have been redeeming, but that's a different character than what this movie was portraying. Like I said, I had a different movie in my head that was going on, and I was just like, damn, this movie could have been really, 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 really interesting, where I was like, oh, this is fun.
Did you like the Tom Hiddleston gas mask samurai sword scene?
Yeah, that was cool.
I thought that was, like, for me, I was like, oh, that, because we, everything was like a lot of CGI, and this was CGI as well, but I was like, this really has nothing to do with the movie itself, but it was just a really badass scene where he's just running through the gas with the gas mask on and then slicing these, because they're kind of like bats with saw faces on them and stuff. I mean, like, they're dinosaurs, so they're not bats, but I'm blanking on pterodactyl. Is that what it is?
Yeah, kind of. But I will say there are more bat-like. That's the interesting thing about, like, Skull Island, is where all of them are based on something, but like an enhanced or like tweaked version of them. Because I actually really like the monsters we did get to see here.
That's all I went into this movie for, is like, my original idea of going into this film was everybody was going to die because nobody knows about King Kong in the future or the present or however way you want to put it. So I was like, oh, this is going to be a Rogue One where nobody makes it home. This is going to be great. For me, when they go to Skull Island, I was like, okay, what other creatures? And when they start explaining like these pockets in the earth and everything like that, since we know it's an expanded universe, I was like, ooh, this is where I start learning about things. And you're looking at every detail, looking for connections between Godzilla and Kong. And the way I look at like an MCU film or a DC film, where I'm like, okay, what's going on? Who are they going to talk about? What hero could pop up here and there? And so these are the reasons why I enjoy some of these films a lot, because I'm like, okay, where's the Easter egg? What's going on? I understand that, you know, this didn't have the best plot, but what it did for me right now is I watched the two previous King Kongs, and King Kong gets shot to death by planes and helicopters and dies and falls. And so this movie starts off and King Kong takes down 15 helicopters and gets the revenge that I've wanted for 40 years, basically. You know, I was like, yes, this is a different Kong. He's not going to get blown up. He's not going to go on a skyscraper. He is a skyscraper, and it was badass. Like, in, like you said, this, there could be less humans in this film and it'd be a better film.
There could be, honestly, maybe 90% Kong and he could handle the film. We've seen it done with what Andy Serkis did in Planet of the Apes with Caesar. You know, I talk about this in my, like, the video review I do. If a movie like WALL-E that has a character that there's no dialogue in that film, and that could be a hit movie, I really think Kong can handle an entire film of, yeah, people come invade him, but I wanted to see the story through his perspective. I think that's the privilege Kong has, is no other character can do that. There is no other monster that I really think can really carry a film by himself other than Kong. And that goes to the awesome portrayal that they did with him acting-wise, because I think Kong had so much life in him in this. I think that's what I would mostly change 100%, is strip this movie back and tell a really nice, straightforward Kong story, because seeing Kong live on this island would have been genius. Like, watching him, that squid scene that we talked about that we liked, seeing him try to get his vengeance. And yeah, people do come kind of invade, but we've seen that the human story in this movie before. It's the alien trope. It's just things that I'm like, I can't back it up as much as I want to.
Compared to the other films, what I did like is how they respected the natives. The storyline of the natives was completely different. Brie Larson, she, like you said, she isn't the damsel in distress, like, because that would be kind of hokey, but she still has a connection with Kong, which is fine, but it isn't this Beauty and the Beast kind of story where he's just hypnotized by this blonde girl. Because Brie Larson wasn't blonde in this film, and I was kind of upset about that.
No, she definitely was like a dirty blonde, but no, I liked it. I think there's that one scene where Kong kind of comes up to her and he sees her, and she's with Tom Hiddleston's character, and he kind of gives him this weird look, and she grabs his arm, and Kong's just like, oh, that's your man? I respect it. And I really liked that's what they delivered with this, is like Kong just was like, oh, you don't want to mess up my island? That's cool. Thank you for being here, Brie Larson. I'm not going to kill you. It was such a cool, like, he had no time for girls in this. Maybe that's a Kong thing as he gets older. He starts having girls crushes, but this young Kong, he's just like, I have shit to do. There's a job. There's vengeance to be done.
And that's another thing you mentioned, that he's a young Kong, and they don't really explain how young he is or how big he's going to get.
which is scary and amazing, especially when they do the crossover with Godzilla, because that Godzilla in 2014's movie is massive. Like, he's a spectacle to see. And I think that's what they had to change with this. And I definitely don't mind Kong being bigger and maybe even getting bigger now, because he's huge in this movie. I think bigger than he's ever been before. And then they kind of made it a point to be like, oh no, he's young. These are his dead parents that recently died. He's still a baby. And I'm like, oh shit, he's going to be like nose to nose with Godzilla, I think.
In the Peter Jackson film, he was only 25 feet tall.
Yeah, in this one, I think he's 100 feet tall. So what a difference already.
And just the battle scenes, you know, when they're fighting that chopper, the chopper battle is just brilliant. And the chaos and then the colors and the flames. And there's so many great visuals going on in this film. And that's, it's a popcorn flick. It's totally straight up a popcorn flick. If you want to reach into it and find some meta anti-war message in there, you can find it. And, you know, balance between environmentalism and everything like that, where it's the, if you take out the ecosystem and you take it out of balance, like shit's going to get fucked up. And that's, you know, I'm glad they didn't hit you over the head with it. Because, I mean, that's the thing, is I wanted to go in and I wanted to see Kong kick ass, because I saw Kong get his ass kicked two films in a row. Like, it was a very depressing weekend of me watching Kong films, man. It was very depressing. And then Godzilla, I was like, oh man, I only got, and you tell me, I only got 8 minutes of Godzilla in my 2-hour and 12-minute film. Oh man. But then I get all redeemed with Kong. Just, he gets like 2 hours in this film, man. He's just in it the whole time. It's the best.
No, and see, and I disagree. I don't think he's in it enough. I think.
Oh, you want to see more Kong?
Because of how well his character was and what he can do. Like I said, Godzilla cannot have that much screen time and actually handle and deliver story. Godzilla is kind of, unless we're going to get back to like the 70s one where he has a personality and he has a son. No, that's not the Godzilla they're doing. This Godzilla is more of just, he's a beast. He's the protector of the universe. He's kind of just here to do a job and leave. Where this Kong, we saw him sit on that squid. He's tired. He just fought a bunch of helicopters. This squid attacks him. And he's like, I don't want to do this. He just rips him, eat him, and then just kind of tosses him away. It's just like he can handle it. And that's why it's like every time we cut away from Kong, I was just like, oh, we have to go to a character. So I definitely see what people didn't like in Godzilla. And that's how I feel about this one, where it's just like, damn it. Why did we cut away from this? Like, this actually could have been a better movie. But that's my whole thing, is Kong needed to be Kong's movie, not a human movie.
But the natives look so good. Their makeup was so good.
See, that's what I'm saying. If we would have kind of focused on the native storyline.
Because they didn't talk either.
If you would have taken Brie Larson's character and Tom Hiddleston's character and put it just them two, with having to deal with John C. Reilly and the natives and Kong be the story, it would have been so much different and so much more streamlined, where we had the unnecessary revenge tale. We had the John Goodman, oh, I want the specimen that's we've seen since Alien, that, you know, the evil company sending him to do it. We had the Samuel Jackson's character being military. I really, really have liked to see Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson, who are both decent actors, do a more just streamlined film. And that, like I said, I don't hate the movie. There's just things I liked that we didn't get enough of, because we had to, like I said, fill a quota of things that Hollywood movies have to do.
The director, Jordan Vaug Roberts, he did...
He's a fairly like new kid, right?
He's a new kid. He's directed some episodes of You're the Worst, and he did Kings of Summer, which is a film I liked, where it was just a bunch of kids who built a house in the woods and just ran away from home. But it's, you know, he did some funny or die stuff. It's interesting that they gave him $180 million film to direct.
It's so funny. I wonder if he had the same thing. That's one of my favorite stories from 2014's Godzilla's. Gareth Edwards gets on set for the first time and he's just like, hey, can we get these people off? We're about to film. And the producer looks at him. He's like, that's your crew. And it's just so funny where these guys come, where he's only done Funny or Die sketches, basically, you know, does a couple of TV, and then it's going to get to this huge movie where I think it's interesting that, at least he was able to go from in the indie world to a bigger project, where that doesn't always happen. Look at Josh Trank, who did Chronicle and then had to do Fantastic Four. Sometimes it doesn't transition well trying to work with the machine.
We still never saw Josh Trank's film.
I know. I'm a huge fan of him. I even defend a lot of the stuff he did. People are like, he smoked weed on set. I'm like, yeah, he's a movie director. Are we shocked he smoked weed? Like, come on, guys. Yeah, that's someone I definitely defend in Hollywood a little bit more than maybe I should.
He follows Monkeys Fighting Robots on Twitter, so we're fine with him.
Oh, good. Awesome. Even better. I'm glad I supported you, my friend. Thank you, Josh.
No, I think it was one of the first video reviews I did. I kind of defended the Fantastic Four movie because everyone was just bashing it.
And, you know, that's one I don't hate it. It's bad. I don't like Miles Teller or Kate Mara. So having to see both of them in a movie together, I'm like, well, damn, who casted this?
You get really personal with your actors and your dislike of actors and actresses.
I think it comes, and this is going to sound so snobby, from me wanting to do directing and everything. I do have such personal attachment to actors and director relationships, and those are two people that I've heard aren't too great with directors. So I think that's where I kind of get some resentment. But it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. So yeah, you get to my psychology now.
And that's the same thing with me with like going to these conventions and interviewing these people. And like, I've had some really good interviews, and I've had some like so-so interviews, and the people that have kind of like connected with me, I'm like, oh man, like I'm going to support them no matter what. And I was talking about this at Kickball last night. Like, we're talking about The Walking Dead, and I've met a whole bunch of people from The Walking Dead. They've all been relatively cool. And I'm like, even if the show kind of started sucking, I'm still going to support it because like, I like the people that are working in the film.
Yeah. Yeah. You definitely kind of support people you do. And that's something I do try to do. That's why I always write about it and stuff. I'm always like director versus studio and stuff like that.
I just can't I'm still trying to get into the psyche of what you want from a monster movie. Like this monster, giant monster universe. Like you want like an indie film, but how can you have an indie film with like Rodan, King Kong, Godzilla, Ghidra? Did we see anybody else in the spot in the end credits?
Oh, I guess we're jumping right into that too. Yeah, no, and it's so funny because I think there is. I definitely come from seeing a lot of Korean and Japanese films like The Host that came out, I think in maybe 2001, 2003, a great monster movie. It's so different. And I really do like Godzilla from 2014. I like Shin Godzilla that came out last year. I've seen these monster movies have a different tone and deliver a different message and still give good monster scenes. I think there's a balance in here somewhere. I think there's somewhere in between Jaws and like Godzilla from 2014 that I want to find, and I want that perfect balance. And Kong Skull Island was
Jaws and Godzilla 2014 are kind of the similar fit. I mean, as far as for me, like I want to see the monster, and you know, Jaws and Godzilla have the same amount of like monster time.
Well, I was saying more for like the critical like or the public reception. I'm looking for something in between that where we can find what I want in a monster movie and what everyone else wants. And it's like we talked about, it's what I want from superhero movies. What I personally want and what the general public wants are two vastly different things. And I don't want to say I'm not going to compromise my view on it. I just kind of like what I like.
So if John C. Reilly was more of a drunk, grumpy old guy, you would have liked?
Yeah, if he was more of a tortured character, he can be funny from kind of like, his character is kind of like Patrick Stewart in a Logan, where, yes, he is a sad character, but the things that come out of his mouth and his quick-wittedness would have been fun. Like I said, this could have been more serious. This could have went the Apocalypse Now route, and I would have been like, oh, shit, this is really good, but it definitely didn't stick a tone, and that's, I guess, my number one thing is I wanted more Kong, and it didn't stick to a tone enough.
And because with the Peter Jackson film, like the kids reading Heart of Darkness. And I was like, okay, do you have to be that obvious of what you're doing in the film to where I thought all the music in the film of the current Kong film was so generic, but it still worked?
It was very jukeboxy. Like, oh, here's the jukebox from the 70s. Let's let it play. But like you said, it does kind of work oddly. It fits that Apocalypse Now pop culture-y. It's something I miss in Tarantino movies. I can't wait till he starts doing modern or at least updated period pieces so I can get music again. Because yeah. I think he curates really good soundtracks. And that's something I definitely like the soundtrack in this. Something like the Guardians of the Galaxy movie. It's a lost art. And I definitely think Kong Skull Island at least had a good soundtrack behind it and a decent score. Because I think Kong got some really good score moments that I'm like, oh, here's a theme song. I like that. Godzilla had one too, and I'm really liking the subtleties in these movies.
I think it was before King Kong that I was watching the trailer for Godzilla 1985, and I was like, oh yeah, Godzilla does have a theme song, like that marching tune that they have, and I was like, oh yeah, that wasn't in the Godzilla movie 2014 that I watched. And there's like an ominous tone that brings when he comes into town, but I'm trying to think of what it was with Kong.
It's definitely in the battle scene, and it's also the first time you see him. It's kind of a very like here he is kind of theme. It's really interesting. It's kind of powerful, and that's something I've been kind of looking a lot for. And right now with movies, is I've been in a score mood. Sometimes I dip into I love cinematography. Sometimes I really love editing, and right now I'm kind of in a score soundtrack mood.
My issue with Kong Skull Island is he's been on Skull Island his whole life. Where did he learn all of those superhero moves that he used in the final battle?
I don't know what boxing league he has in Skull Island, but like Adrian taught him well, because my dude was throwing right and left. He did a Superman punch. He did that move with the blade.
Ghost Rider. He had Ghost Rider maneuver with the chain. Like, as soon as I saw him pick up the chain, I was like, oh, Ghost Rider. This is going to be the Ghost Rider moment right here. I was like sitting there, I'm like, oh, this is going to be so good.
He did everything. I think he hit the people's elbow from the rock. Like, he came with a good move set in this, and I liked it.
This is where I don't think you give the movie credit, because like the one guy was like, I've had enough of this, man. I'm going to take this monster lizard out. And he grabs the grenades and he's like, come on, eat me. And then Lizard's like, get the fuck out of here. And he like bounces off the wall and explodes.
No, there was good like subverting expectation moments. Like I said, I don't hate this movie by any means. It's definitely not my least favorite I've seen. It's probably one of them, like we talked about, it's one of the more happier Kong movies. So I give it points for that. It just kind of got lost in the shuffle. I don't think I'm going to remember this as much as I loved the Godzilla film. And I know people think I'm crazy for it, but I'm also still the same guy who liked Batman v Superman. You remember, you have to put an asterisk next to things I like. I'm still that person.
No, I know you're that person. And it's like, I was just Monday night when they're like, I was like, are you kidding me? How can you hate this film? And I know you don't hate it, but you're very schmarmy with this film.
and it definitely comes from, there's a movie in here I loved. So that's what it boils down to. But no, I give it credit. It's fun. The action scenes are great. There's good things that they avoided. Like we talked about, no damsel in distress. There's those stupid tropes where it's like, I'm going to blow up the monster. And the monster's like, now you can go to hell. No, there's good moments. There's just, to me, the bad slightly outweighs the good a little bit.
Are you effing kidding me?
Just slightly. I think all those fun battle scenes can't make up for a good, like a mediocre movie.
Because the napalm in the pond scene, like that was a smart way of trapping Kong. And then Kong smashing Samuel Jackson, like how that happened, like very quickly. Like there are some key moments in this film where like it is superb. I know there's a lot of movies ahead of this, but I'm so impressed with the CGI and the graphics and like the special effects with this film and with Kong. Give me an Oscar.
This is definitely a nomination, but I'm telling you, I definitely think Guardians is going to get it this year. Though I thought Doctor Strange would have been an easy Oscar win for it being inventive. No, I definitely, this is definitely really good visual effects here. The best Kong's ever looked. And definitely, like you said, when they napalmed him and you got to see the singed fur, that was such a good attention to detail. They couldn't get that little Asian girl's pants dirty, but they remembered to singe his fur perfectly. It's like, come on, guys. It's like, what were we doing? I felt like this movie was handled by different people, and one person needed to do this.
And there were so many good kills. The bamboo spider kill, for me, I still think is the best kill of the movie.
Yeah, because I think as like the big major kills, it was the most fun, because there's a lot of them I really didn't like as much.
But that's where it like hit like a horror note. Like you could have gone down, and I think to a certain extent, you know, they did go down a horror note with like the kills and the Jurassic Park Velociraptor type moments type thing there, where like it was pretty intense for a while.
Yeah, definitely. There was some really good violence in it, and I definitely appreciate that. But then there's some of them, like, I don't like the John Goodman kill. I really don't like that one that we talked about with a guy gets, like, ripped apart by, like, the pterodactyl things, and his briefcase is still there, but he loses an arm. I thought some of them, I'm like, that wasn't as cool for, like, as cool as the spider one was. And, like, I actually like the Samuel L. Jackson kill for it being, like, quick and kind of sudden. But it was pretty 50-50 for me.
After the John Goodman thing, that was an alien. They basically ripped off Aliens with the beeping and the flash and everything like that. That was them, like, either paying homage or stealing from Aliens during that scene right there.
I guess, you know what, I will say that's probably the scariest scene, because that flash noise creeps me out so
bad.
Yeah,
it's a great noise.
It was used, remember, a lot in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake. Even in the original, it's that flash noise, and that really creeps me out. And that scene, I think, was probably one of the other than the big fight scene at the end, is one of the best singular scenes in that film. Take away the rest of it, that was a really good moment.
I was just wondering, because, like, you see the flash, how come nobody's shooting at the flash?
Then once again, it's like a good moment, and then you're like, but why are we still being dumb, everybody? It's like, I wanted to shake some people in this movie.
It's one of these movies where, like, I probably would have been the guy that had the radio being like, does nobody else want to talk about that the giant monkey? Like, that was me right there if I was in this movie, because I would have been, like, freaking out, but I still would have been making fun of the situation. So for me, that was realistic.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. There were some good characters like that. But then there's times where, like, Brie Larson's a photographer in this movie and she's not taking photos of awesome moments. And I'm like, girl, what are we doing? Yeah, there's some small complaints, too, that I'm like, you didn't do your job. You're the worst at this, Brie.
And then there's tropes that I wanted to happen. Like, I wanted her to, like, disturb something with her camera taking a photo. Like, there was no, like, oh, I'm going to take a photo.
Well, there was kind of a moment where she was looking through and one of the natives, like, she's looking through, right, and she's like, oh, this is a cute one. She's about to take a photo and his eyes open. It was kind of there, but like we talked about, every time they would do something that we would expect, it would be just a little different.
I still couldn't believe the makeup job that they did with the natives. I thought they were gorgeous.
It looked great. It reminded me a lot of Eli Roth's new film Cannibal Holocaust that came out, like, maybe 2014, of how beautifully real they looked. Green Inferno, not Cannibal Holocaust.
I was like, wait a second, I feel actually, like we're talking about the wrong movie.
I will say there was a moment, it was in the spike kill with the spider when it went through their mouth,
yeah,
which was the most horror moment. That was from Cannibal Holocaust, and they did it in a Green Inferno as well, and I'm like, holy shit, like, damn, if there was, like, more of those kills, I would have loved it. Yeah, because that was gory. But yeah, it's interesting of how beautiful those natives looked, because they looked real. And, like, they looked like we actually found tribal people that they just let us film them for this.
It was the best attention to detail. And that's the thing, is there with the CGI, the natives, Skull Island, the attention to detail is, like, spot on in this film.
Yeah, everything visually was spot on. I really wish the script was better. The story was a little bit better, just so I could have loved it more.
But you didn't laugh with the big fucking ants?
No, not at all.
Oh, man. Like, oh, that sounds like birds. They're really big fucking ants.
No, like I said, the jokes were really, really off for me.
Oh, man. I've talked to other people, and, like, John's Veronica, she cried at the end of this film when John C. Reilly makes it back to Chicago and gets his hot dog and watches the baseball game.
Yeah, I know. I that was awesome. I think that was such a beautiful moment. But I didn't feel I got to love it as much, because his character was just too goofy, where I forgot that he had this beautiful kind of, you know, message waiting at home for him. So there's just things I'm like, if we would have just delivered a little bit more seriousness from him, just a tiny bit more, that ending would have paid off to me. As beautiful as it was just like, oh, that's cool. Oh, yay.
Did you want, like, Tom Hanks trapped on an island?
That's what I'm saying. If we would have just done the Tom Hiddleston, Brie Larson kind of running into him because they crashed here, Yeah, I would have loved to see him be crazy Tom Hanks. And then when he gets back, it's this more beautiful, heartfelt moment. It was a great way of ending it. I thought that was funny because I'm like, is this the post-credit scene? Is this it? Is this the post-credit scene we're waiting for?
No, and they didn't run the credits yet. It was
Well, yeah, I'm used to that Marvel where it's like, here's like the first little bit of the credits, and then here's your post-credit scene, because no one wants to wait until you see who catered this movie.
And did you like piss your pants in the post-credit scene? Because you were jumping up and down a lot.
I'm telling you, maybe that's a problem. I'm a Godzilla person. I really just was like, I have Rodan. Because I was also worried because Gareth Edwards was originally doing Godzilla King of Monsters. And then he left the project because he did
Rogue One.
Yeah, he did Rogue One. So I was like, oh boy, we're changing the script. So this was to me officially confirming we're doing Rodan, Mothra, like King Ghidorah. It's a remake of the original film. I'm so excited for it. So yeah, that was the first time I think a post-credit scene has worked for me since the first Marvel one.
But they were just drawings.
I don't care. That's what I think it, the fanboy in me. Maybe this is the one time that I'll be a fanboy and be like, I saw pictures. I know it's there. I know it's coming. I'm fine.
And the other thing that bothered me in the post-credit scene is they said that there's more than one king in this world. And
yeah,
I was like,
he's the king of monsters.
Right, but no, I think they were referring to like Ghidra as
well,
the king.
Yeah, there's so many kings in this universe. Like,
no, there's Godzilla.
I don't know, because King Kong's the like king of Skull Island. Because I think it's interesting, because King Kong he's like the front line of it. If something leaves Skull Island, it's his fault. King Kong runs Skull Island, where Godzilla has the bigger job of like, if things are in balance in the world, he kind of comes and it's like, oh, I have to kill Mutos. I don't want to. I don't like humans. I have to kill you. So he's like the god of the king of the world, where Kong has a smaller scale.
He's like a duke.
Yeah, he's like a duke, and I think that's what's interesting, where this King Ghidra thing, he's just the king of the entire galaxy. He's basically an alien. So I think there's levels to it, and I think that's what I like. So
do you think they're going to go outer space on this?
Oh, I don't know, because it's been based in prehistoric stuff, and maybe they want to differentiate themselves from Cloverfield, which has been really based on aliens. So we'll see. Ooh, that's another crossover that seeing the original Clover monster on Skull Island would have been really amazing.
Well, that was my problem with the Godzilla, the monsters that he fought in Godzilla. So I was like, these remind me of cheap, like, Cloverfield. Like, I thought the monster designs in Godzilla were pretty weak.
I like them if something like Cloverfield didn't come out so recently. Because I thought the Mutos were really interesting design. They had good noises. They had good personality. In that first Muto scene, when he comes out of the thing, it's really, really cool. I like them, but they are very, very similar to kind of what we've been seeing a lot in Hollywood lately. So thankfully, at least Skull Island avoided like just kind of typical stuff.
Because these monsters that Kong were fighting, like, I didn't realize they didn't have hind legs until halfway through the movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're really, really different character design. Because then you had kind of like the like moose guy that had multiple things and he was huge. Like, there was a lot of really cool creatures on here. I do wish they would have slipped a Godzilla reference in here. Like I said, there's something on Skull Island to confirm it would have been really cool instead of just the post-credit scene.
Or at least that, like, Godzilla and King Kong are, like, okay with each other. But then it can't. I really don't know. I hope they don't have, like, Kong versus Godzilla. I don't want that. I just need them.
The title is Kong versus Godzilla. But they're going to Batman be Superman you. You know they're going to hate each other for most of it and then going to be like, there's somebody bigger and badder than both of us. We'll do this. And then, because honestly, that's kind of Godzilla's whole thing is like in these newer films is he doesn't care about humans or anybody. He's just here to make sure the world he lives on does not blow up or die because he likes it living here. So
yeah, because it's like, kind of small for him. He's like, this is my little pond I live in.
Yeah, I don't fuck have with much it. Places. Like, can we not ruin everything? I think that's what I like about the Godzilla thing where Kong, maybe he'll just get mad that something breaks out of Skull Island. And Godzilla's like, bro, you had one job. You have one job to keep things on this island. You failed.
Oh, and you were talking about that you would like to see like Pacific Rim kind of join this universe?
It's owned by Legendary. They've already introduced the monsters in their film. I know it's more set in the future and it's very hyper-realistic, but hey, if this the King Kong Godzilla monsterverse goes on forever, make that the Jason X of the franchise and just thrust them to Pacific Rim. I don't care. It's just, if we're going to make these ridiculous Fast and the Furious Hollywood movies, we need to get there already and make them that dumb and campy.
Where did the, in Pacific Rim, they come from like a different dimension, right?
I think so. Yeah, I've always kind of forgot. Because I thought they were like sea-based creatures, but then I didn't know if they lived under the sea.
No, they go through like a dimensional portal kind of thing. But they could start making some of those robots. It's just a matter of time. If you have giant monsters running around Earth, humans, because we're military morons, we're going to make a giant robot to go fight our giant monsters. Like, that's what we're eventually going to step up to. So I think they could probably make, like, first generation... what did they call those
robots? Jaegers?
Yeah, Jaegers. Yeah, so
I just instantly thought of Jaeger bombs. So I was like, but no, yeah, definitely, like, because I remember, I can't think of his name, but there's always been that little robot, like, guy in the Godzilla franchise. He's always been, like, the Power Rangers looking kind of guy.
Ultraman?
Yeah, I think Ultraman. And I definitely been like, is that going to be their version of, like, the Pacific Rim Ultraman, like, gritty reboot of that? Because I'm here for that.
Well, because Ultraman grows.
Like, he's a character I always forgot about because he's only there to, like, assist Godzilla slightly.
Do I have? I think I have the whole first season sitting on my shelf. I'll let you borrow it.
Well, thank you. I would love to catch up on that.
I'm looking around. I reorganized my shelves. I can see my Godzilla, my original Godzilla film sitting there, and I should probably put that in my Blu-ray player and watch that again because that movie's awesome.
Well, at least I will say for you, I'm glad that Kong Skull Island has kept your enthusiasm for the MonsterVerse going. Like, if Godzilla, the 2014 one, kind of like was like, oh, I'm hesitant. At least this one was the one you liked, so maybe they'll keep going up.
I'm just really upset that P. Diddy didn't like do a theme song for this film or the other Godzilla song.
Can we talk about that soundtrack for like 98's Godzilla being low-key amazing? Like, everything, I hate that I like that movie, actually. Like, that's one that I saw when I was younger that I'm like, well, that was fun, and that I'm like, I won't give in to say it's horrible, like, just because I had a lot of fun.
That film is my Batman versus Superman because...
Ooh, that's a great way of putting that.
I love Godzilla and all that Godzilla has brought to me, and I was so pumped for this movie to come out. And there was... This is like sort of pre-internet where they were hiding what he was going to look like, and it was such a mystery, and you had to go to theater. And then the movie came out, and it was kind of flat. And I was like, ugh. But I had to tell everybody that I loved that film because I love Godzilla, and I would not let anybody talk shit about Godzilla. I was like, don't fuck with that Godzilla movie. Don't fuck with Godzilla. That's my boy. Leave it alone. And I defended it till World's End. And then there was a new Godzilla movie that came out. So I don't have to defend that one anymore. I have to defend this one.
Did you, do you know Toho bought the rights to that Zilla from the 98 film just to kill him off in like a 30-second clip in a Godzilla movie?
Yes.
That was so cocky of Toho being like, thanks for that cute imitation. He's dead now. Like, that's what I like about Toho. And I think that's what's so funny, that they got credited for giving like Ghidra and like Rodan and Mothra in this movie. And I'm like, they were primitive sketches on a wall. And Toho still was like, I need the money. Thank you. Please.
Just give me the money. How much? There's so much Godzilla merchandise out there. I was surprised how little King Kong merchandise is out on the interwebs these days.
And that's what's going to be interesting is I don't know if – I know Kong's kind of like that American franchise, but Godzilla's always been the one that people have liked a little bit more, just like in merchandise standpoint. So it's going to be very interesting to see when these two start battling out. Thankfully, they're from the same studio, so win or lose, they're still both winning. But I'm going to be interested to see what people like monster-wise more.
Godzilla.
But it's interesting. I wonder why, though, because if Kong's – maybe it's because of how they portrayed Kong. Because if Kong's always been like this, he would have a tougher debate. And if Gamera was in these movies, Gamera would beat everybody.
Yeah, Gamera would beat everybody. Is that the flying turtle?
Yeah, he's like the master of the universe that's not He-Man. Yeah, he's awesome.
But Kong dies at all of the end of his films.
And I, unfortunately, I think that's what we're building up to in this universe. I think Godzilla's going to have to kill Kong, or
no, no, they can't kill him.
I don't know, because I think that's the story he goes to. One of those two are going to be dying in their movie.
No, it's kind of team up, because there's a bigger monster out there. You don't die. Maybe you get injured.
I'm interested to see. Maybe that's the Zack Snyder in me.
God, such an asshole. All right, when's your video coming out?
It comes out this Friday.
And you're going to just dive into everything Kong from your bougie side?
Yeah, I'm definitely talking
son
about
of a bitch.
Yes, my son of a bitch cinema snob side. And as that commenter said, my too gay side, I guess, because that invalidates my opinion.
Well, maybe you should just get different color donuts.
Maybe they should just not care because I like my donut shirt. And oh, trust me, I can't wait to eat a donut on camera one day.
Okay, don't make that face, okay, ever. Like, whatever that, eat it, I'm going to eat it. No, it was creepy. Are you going to use the hot pink background again for your video?
No, I just try to match my donut a little bit, but I'll find a color less abrasive, especially for such a manly movement like Logan. I was just like, I'm going to pink it up, but it seems like people did not care.
Hi, EJ. I am going to abstain from Beauty and the Beast next week, so you enjoy that all by yourself.
Yeah, I can't wait to piss off people by enjoying Beauty and the Beast's gay character in a movie about a woman falling in love with a buffalo. Can't wait.
An abusive buffalo, right?
A Stockholm Syndrome abusive buffalo who does read a lot, though. Points for that, though.
I'm the biggest fan of Lumiere, and I just don't think that they're going to pull off Lumiere the way they did in the cartoon, because Lumiere in the cartoon was having sex all the time with all like the china.
He was the Mac Daddy of the mansion. He got laid more than Beast did, and I loved it. Yeah, I'm going to be missing things out on this, but I guess I have to see people falling over Emma Watson a little bit.
The French maid feather duster.
Oh, man. That God, I forgot how pervy like sometimes Disney was.
Hi, EJ. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Hey, Matt, we survived another episode.
Once again, there are several ways to continue the conversation after the show. Follow us on Twitter at monkeys_robots. You can look at all our silly photos on Instagram at monkeysfightingrobots. You can follow me on Twitter at Matthew Sardo. My co-host EJ is also on Twitter at EJ Christ with a K. The biggest compliment we receive is when the subscriber number goes up on Blog Talk Radio, our home. Check it out. They are great people. If you have a chance, we would greatly appreciate a review of our show on iTunes. As always, the best way to listen to the show is on our website, monkeysfightingrobots.com.
Okay, Lunchbox, let's try this again.
There are so many people that made the 114th episode of Monkeys Fighting Robots a success. Special shout out to my co-host, EJ Marino, for putting up with me.
One day we're going to agree on movies. One day we will find a movie we both equally love.
Roadhouse?
I mean, he ripped somebody's heart out after saying, I fuck guys like you in prison. Yeah, I think we can both agree that movie's amazing.
Jeff Shade is the creator of our amazing intros and outros. Jessica Wynn designed the Monkeys Fighting Robots logo. Are you a monkey or are you a robot? The staff at Visual Realm built our website and keeps us up and running. To all my friends, family, and the interweb, thank you very much for your support. I'm Matt Sardo, and this is Monkeys Fighting Robots.